Broadcasting live from beautiful, historic Marion, Ohio, it's Now with Scott Spears. Call Scott live on the air anytime at 740-383-9944. No topic is too big or too small. I'm your announcer, the man with the golden voice, Ted Williams. And now, here's your host, Scott Spears.
Thank you, man with the golden voice, Ted Williams. Scott Spears coming at you here on a Thursday morning, July the 23rd, 2026. 11 and a half minutes past the hour here. An unseasonably cool, I guess I should say, easy for me to say, Thursday morning, 56 degrees, mostly sunny skies here in the Marion area. Now, I have to do something right off the bat here that reputable news organizations have to do from time to time. Now, here's what happened. We have to admit when we did something wrong or misreported something. The other day, Monday, we were sent a press release by the city administration in the afternoon in regard to the declaration of fiscal emergency by the city. And to put that press release up on the social media page, we had to convert the file that it was sent in to put it up from one form to another. And essentially, when the file was converted, I tracked this down yesterday. When the file was converted, for whatever reason, technology, a few words ended up misspelled. Now, we put that up with the misspelled words. And when we were made aware later in the day by the administration that there were misspelled words in there, and were given a correct copy of the press release, we fixed it. And we put the correct copy up, probably about 4 hours later, I'm going to say. But people have been knocking the administration for misspellings in that original press release. The administration did not make any misspellings. That was our fault. And even though it did happen in the transfer, when we were converting the file, we did not do it on purpose. But we should have went over it and checked it before we put it up. So that's on us. And so if you want to say we can't spell, that's okay. The administration can spell. So we apologize for that. That's our fault. And they should not be taking any flack for that if they are. But the corrected press release has been up on the WGH social media page since Monday night. The original was only up, I'm going to say, for maybe 3 or 4 hours. It wasn't up very long. So if you're knocking the administration for that misspelling of words, that's not their fault. That's our error. And we became aware of it yesterday. So we have to set the record straight on that one. You've got to be honest when running a reputable news organization. And when you're wrong, you're wrong, and we were wrong on that one, so that's on us. So there you go. Phone lines are open, 740-383-9944. That's 740-383-9944. Give us a buzz if there's anything on your mind. Also, this is going to be one of those stories. Normally I do not tell because I really can't tell you what was said because the person would not like if I told you what was said. All I can tell you is that last night we were doing a taping here at the studio, our regular Wednesday night taping. And, I guess the best I can say is Mary Ellen Withrow, our 40th treasurer of the United States, is a very funny lady. She said something last night during the taping that had a professional comedian who has worked for Jay Leno, Whoopi Goldberg, Rosie O'Donnell, Ryan Reynolds, Bill Maher, and myself, and our cameraman, basically on the floor laughing. She is a funny woman, but that will never make it to air Because that was a taped show, and nobody sent me any messages. I'm not going to tell you what she said, but it was a very funny line. Mary Ellen is a very funny woman. That's all I'm going to say. Some things are just completely off the record. Okay, phone lines are open, 740-383-9944. That's 740-383-9944. 16 minutes past the hour here. Well, I don't think anything new has happened in the last 24 hours that I'm aware of. The city, obviously the big news of the week is the city has been declared to be in fiscal emergency. So we've got that going on. And what the repercussions of that will be, we don't know. We're waiting to see who the governor appoints to this advisory board or commission, or whatever you would like to refer to it as. We have got our fire chief, Chuck Deem, planning to retire next February, but pretty much not going to be around the station until then, taking a lot of stored up vacation time. So we've got that going on. And, of course, the conversation around the flock cameras continue. Should they stay or should they go? You know, and I'll tell you something interesting. We did a lot of coverage last week on the flock camera situation. No doubt about it. But I'm starting to think, here's a little thing about news. If the story is moving, I think there's a reason to report on it. You know, and last week I felt the story was moving. It was brought up in city council out of the blue. It was not on the agenda. So that obviously is a story. Then we had legislation drafted. That obviously was a story. We had, I believe, three different people yesterday or last week come on the program. Nathan Stevenson, Aaron Rollins, and Rob Smith all come on and talk about it. So I felt that was a story. And we were going into Monday night city council meeting to talk about it. So I felt that was a story. But since then, I don't really feel that story has moved all that much. Other than we had Monday night city council meeting in which a lot of people showed up to talk about it. But it's basically just sitting in committee. And it will sit there for another week and a half before it will be brought up again. So I don't feel that the story is moving. And people who continue to talk about it, that's fine. But at this point, I think because people like to talk about it, it gets a lot of attention. It got a lot of attention for us. There's no doubt about it. But I don't think the story's moving anymore. I think this is one of those situations where now people are sort of beating it into the ground. And I don't... I, as I said yesterday, if there are 5 votes to remove these flock cameras on city council, I'd be interested to know who those 5 people are. Because at this point, if they get 3 votes, if it went to full council to remove the cameras, I would be very surprised. So, I mean, we can continue to have the conversation, but it's all going to come down to the votes. Now, certainly you can call your representative, and certainly you can let your voice be heard. As a matter of fact, I think you should do that. But is this story going anywhere at this point? It doesn't seem like it is. Now it just seems like it's turning into one of those clickbait stories. I think the story that's obviously moving right now is the fiscal emergency story, which oddly enough, again, this is one of those things in the news business. I don't think fiscal emergency is as flashy as flock cameras, because flock cameras is about surveillance and it's about police officers and things going on in other states and that sort of thing. You know, a fiscal emergency is what it is. It's a declaration. It's far more serious, I think, to most people, should be, than flock cameras. But people aren't really debating that and what should happen and so on and so forth. It just doesn't get that kind of interest. Although, in the history of the city of Marion, it will be a far more significant story, without question. So, there's my little News 101 this morning. Okay, 21 minutes past the hour here. Unseasonably cool Thursday morning. 58 degrees. Hey, I got the word right that time. Phone lines are open. 740-383-9944. That's 740-383-9944. Now, I do feel that the change in this weather so quickly has kicked up people's allergies. We have really been hit with it lately. We had the smoke last week and early into this week from the Canada wildfires that were making people sick and hoarse and not able to breathe. And now we've got these unseasonably cooler temperatures, which are seemingly doing the same. Because the lady who takes my order at McDonald's in the morning, she was so hoarse this morning, I could barely understand her. And I have to believe that's due to these temperature changes. Anybody having any issues with the temperature changes? 740-383-9944. Now, the other day, we were also talking about wild animals and why do they not run away from you anymore? As I have said many times, when I go out and do my mile walk at night, rabbits will come right up to me. And unless I go toward these rabbits in a lunging fashion, they do not move. They will stay right there, stare at you. Rabbits really didn't used to do that, wild rabbits. If they even saw you coming, they would run away. They would try to stay hidden mostly all the time. I do not know what is going on with squirrels and rabbits and groundhogs, all these things that are normally wild animals that are afraid of people most of the time. But they're in neighborhoods now, and they don't seem to care at all. And I talked the other day about the geese. You know, there's a pond that I walk by every night when I do my mile walk, and I don't know where the geese are. They were there earlier this year, and they usually stay until September. But I have not seen the geese probably since April or May. Does anybody know where the geese went? Have they found another watering hole in Marion? Because for the over decade time that I have lived where I've lived, they've always been there. And now all of a sudden, I don't know where they are. I don't know if they've went down to the college or what has happened, but the geese are not where they were in the past. Okay, any thoughts on that? See, that's a nice, easy subject, as opposed to fiscal emergency and flock cameras and that whole bit. Anybody have any thoughts on this? 740-383-9944. That's 740-383-9944. Well, we're only 13, coming up on 14 minutes into this program, and I think we've already covered a lot of ground. We did our apology for the press release that was up the other day. We did our Mary Ellen Withrow is a funny person story, although I can't tell you what she said. Talked a little bit about the fiscal emergency. Talked a little bit about Fire Chief Chuck Deem and his plans to retire in February. Talked a little bit more about the flock cameras. And now we've talked about wild animals. So here we are, Thursday morning, and if anything's on your mind, please feel free to buzz in. 740-383-9944. You know, it could be we have gotten to the point where everybody has said everything they have wanted or needed to say at this particular point. Maybe they've gotten all their points in. Now, one thing I do want to bring up this morning in regard to the fiscal emergency. Well, hold on. Let's take the phone call here, and we'll come back to this. 740-383-9944.
Go ahead, caller. Love your city.
Yes, absolutely. Good morning.
Is it?
Well, I like Pure Marion better, but it's okay.
Pure Marion sounds like a sanitizing elixir.
Well, with the smoke we've
had. Pure Marion for all those soil spots you have.
I don't know about that, but I think it rolls off the tongue better.
Well, I think we need to take down Love Your City. The next time you talk with Keith Faber, ask him if he loves Marion.
Well, what did you make of Keith Faber's... That interview has gotten a lot of listens, a lot of traction. A lot of people have been quoting it. What do you make of the substance of what the Auditor of State had to say?
It sure does sound like he knows what the hell he's talking about and doing compared to the local yokel not ready for prime time politicians.
You know, somebody said that to me yesterday, because people are still coming up to me talking about that interview, and somebody said they were so impressed with Keith Faber and his knowledge of the names and what has been going on here in Marion, and that even if he was just briefed before he did the interview, he seemed to know his stuff.
I seriously doubt that he was just briefed before the interview.
Yeah, but you know people will say
that. I mean, he's obviously done his homework. He's had his people do the work along with him, and he knows what's going on. Hopefully, he can untie the Gordian knot.
Right, but you know a lot of people feel that the people, like the governor, the auditor, the people at the top, they always feel that they have a lot of people below them doing the real work, and then somebody hands them a piece of paper, and essentially they just work off of that. And I think Mr. Faber proved that that is not the case the other day.
Well, he certainly proved that Marion, the Democratic Party, and the Republican Party has screwed the hard-working taxpayers of Marion. And hopefully we can get things all sorted out, and the hard-working taxpayers of Marion are going to see a better return on their tax dollar investment.
Well, you know, though, honestly, I don't know that this had a lot to do with political party, because one of the things that I thought was very poignant about what Auditor Faber said, because he's a Republican, the people he went in most on were Republicans. So I don't think that he really had any kind of axe to grind political party wise. I think what he was saying was, this is not about political party, this is not about anything that people have made up. This is about people who didn't know how to do their job, and this is about people.
And it's a result of those parties backing people that say, I'm this party, I'm that party, and they don't know what the hell they're doing. They haven't been vetted. And that's why it's incumbent upon both parties, any party, to say, look, we have candidates. We are giving them our seal of approval. We're not just endorsing them. They have done this, this, and this to educate themselves to be able to hit the ground running, and they won't need training wheels.
Right. Well, let me ask you this, though, because I'm not trying to defend anything here, because obviously there are Republicans who probably are not ready for office, and there are Democrats who are not ready for office. But in this particular situation in Marion, what Democrats would you say would be responsible for this particular situation?
Well, you know, this didn't happen overnight.
No, it didn't.
Anybody worth their salt, and I still hold to the fact, the mayor is the CEO of corporate Marion. Now, if you can't take a look and see what budgets are, and most particularly, enact a business plan, you're going to be groping around in the dark. You're not going to know where anything is, how much money there is. So how can you build a budget based upon not knowing what you have in the kitty, the coffers, How much? Revenues, income. I mean, when you get down to it, it's really, the concept is kind of simple. You can't spend any more than what you have coming in.
Well,
and you have to keep a pulse on that. And every department has to be held accountable and have good record keeping.
Right. But in the period that this has happened, the last 2 years, which Auditor Faber pointed out the other day, from the mayor to the auditor to the treasurer to the entire city council, the only Democrat who was there was Ayers Ratliff. So is he the one?
Unfortunately, all city council members are. This just didn't happen. This was building up ever since the Schertzer administration. It just didn't happen overnight.
No, that's absolutely true, that there were problems there as well. So,
and it's unfortunate, too, because some of the council people from X number councils past are just as guilty as some of the present council people.
Right, but if you
because they were elected officials, they should have known better. They should have realized, look, you're responsible for this. I don't think they have qualified immunity from this. It's just like people don't realize that, for instance, Can-Do, the Board of Can-Do, along with the City of Marion, under the helm or guidance of Gus Comstock, over $400,000 from the city, and if there was actually matching from the county, another $400,000, so there's $800,000 unaccountable for. What do we have to show for it? And those people on that board are responsible. If there were enough people to put together a taxpayer suit, the City of Marion should be sued, the county should be sued, and the Board of Can-Do should be sued, and the taxpayers should get their $400,000-some back. But that's not going to happen, but it should.
Well,
people don't realize there's a responsibility. That's why there are too many people in this town on the Mutual Admiration Society. Oh, I'm on this board, I'm on that board, oh, I'm grand, they want me, I'm on this board. And they don't do anything. And that's why Marion has really been nothing but mediocre.
Well, I'll tell you, one thing I want to point out, or a couple things I want to point out here in what you said. There is definitely, the Auditor Faber said the other day that this did not start overnight, so you cannot put the blame on the current administration. And this is all a paraphrase. I don't have a transcript of the interview in front of me. But one thing he did say, Auditor Faber, says that when the current administration came in 2024, they knew there was problems. And they did not do anything to fix those problems. And as a matter of fact, they spent more than the prior administration had, knowing that there were problems. And he, I believe the term that Auditor Faber used was, you can blame other administrations, but the buck stops with you and council, because you knew there was a problem and you continued to do appropriations and spend more than the previous administration. And spend
on ludicrous things. Such as, the $10,000 for the strongest town's party in the park, and all the money on doing those buses, and redecorating the service director's office? Oh my God.
Well, right, but so that's a difference between the two administrations here, and again, not that the Schertzer administration is not culpable in this, because it did start under them, but, and again, what Auditor Faber said, the only name that Auditor Faber mentioned specifically, if I can remember right, in that interview was that of former Auditor Landon. And he said that the books had not been reconciled since 2019, December of 2019. Now, he said there were problems before that, but that Auditor Landon...
Didn't he mention something about with Landon, there was like $140,000 up in the air or something like that?
I don't remember that, but I do remember him saying that Landon made it worse and that he did not know what he was doing. If you go back and listen to this.
Didn't Landon say that he went in knowing he wasn't qualified to do the job? Didn't he say that?
In the interview with me, he did. Yes, he did.
Yeah. But, you know, you can forgive him. You know why you can forgive him, right?
Why is that?
I found God.
Well, you
know. Now he's a holy man, and we can forgive him.
Well, you know, people make mistakes, and he's allowed to make a mistake. I don't find any problem with that, and I thought it was big of him.
You know, you can make a mistake when you're a private person, but when you make a mistake when you are held in public trust, that destroys the integrity of the system.
Yeah, but I don't know any perfect politicians, and I think by the end, at least the interview he did last year, I think it was, that he was willing to admit those things. The problem there is, after that, I don't know if he still felt that way, because then there was a whole other bunch of stuff that I'm not really sure about. I didn't really follow it all that closely, but I think he went from saying that, you know, he wasn't prepared for the job, to it was not his fault. Well, I think he...
That's why it all falls on the shoulders of the Marion County Democratic Club and the Marion County Republican Club to educate, to cultivate good people, to vet these people as candidates, so that the taxpayer knows, hey, they know how to conduct business. They know how to keep an eye on our tax dollars to get us the most return on our tax dollar investments.
Well, again, I just want to come back to the point here. These are the things that Auditor Faber said. So, you know, people can believe what was said and what was not said, but Auditor Faber seemed to be okay to the fact that we were reconciling the books in December of 2019, and after that, we were not. Now, there was a change there in auditors, so, you know, people can make what they will of that.
Well, I think the only saving grace for Marion is we've got Faber and his team. Hopefully they can bring the local team around to become more disciplined and more acutely aware of every penny of revenue that's brought in, so that we can dig our way out of this.
And also,
this is a monumental thing. The ramifications of this, I don't think people really comprehend. How can we have business development when Marion is the laughingstock of the whole state right now? Who in their right mind would even consider bringing a manufacturing facility or anything else into Marion? I mean, it could be someone that's not too, you know, it's kind of shady to come in and say, okay, and we get these grant funds, this grant funds, and poof, they're gone in a year or two. Like things that have happened in the past with, I think, the tire situation and stuff. But we have got to start, we've got to really tighten the belt. We have to get discipline, along with educated, determined people to be accountable and not drag the community into the chaos that it is in now?
Well, what's going to have to happen is the community is going to have to come together, and the people who are in office, who are going to be there at least through the end of next year, are going to have to pull together, and they are going to have people from the state and appointed by the governor who are a part of, will be a part of this situation, and that's how you pull out. Some communities pull out of this rather quickly, as Auditor Faber said the other day, and maybe ours will be one. If you cut my neck,
it's nice to hope that ours will be able to pull out of it, but you have to remember one thing. How many times had they taken their plan to the auditor the first time it was shot down, and then the second time it was shot down, right?
Right.
So there needs to be an iron-fisted tutor. And I'm afraid it's going to be, I think Faber mentioned about receivership, right? I think we're probably going to end up being in a receivership and the state taking over until Marion can prove it can handle the responsibility.
I think with this board in place, I would imagine that everybody is going to try to pay attention to this board. I can't imagine.
You mentioned the board.
Yeah.
And who composes this board?
Well, the governor appoints a good number of the members of it.
Well, here we have the potential of political favoritism. Hopefully it won't be that way, but I think certainly disinterested third parties to overlook everything, nobody from the local community.
Well, I think it has to be people from the local community.
Well, if it does, it'll be interesting to see what the makeup is, because if we have X who's on this board and that board and four or five boards in Marion, we're kind of doomed to failure.
I think it's going to be...
I can see where the mayor definitely needs to be there, because he needs to have a fire lit under his ass.
Well, I think it'll probably be made of people with financial backgrounds. It'll probably be made of some people with political backgrounds whose background is in finance. I think that's probably what this board will be made up of. Maybe bankers could be those type of people. I don't know, but I would expect that would be the makeup of the board.
Is Holbrook Manter, they're still in town, aren't they?
I'm not sure.
Yeah.
I haven't heard of
them
for a while.
Well, I think accountancy, some members of that, and maybe the professor from out at OSUM, would make up, I think. But we've definitely, it's a hell of a mess, and we've got to dig out of it, and we have to start regrouping and taking advantage. You know, people are bugging out of New York, and they're bugging out of California. Manufacturers, I've been given to understand that Ohio has been had ads for the industries that are bugging out of California to come to Ohio. And Marion needs to be aware that, hey, Marion, Ohio is open for business.
Well, I think,
and
Auditor
do whatever
Faber,
we can to bring business to Marion.
Well, I think Auditor Faber said the other day that Marion has a good revenue stream. It's just there is a spending issue here.
Well, we may have a good revenue, a basis for revenue, but, you know, Marion's population, it'll be interesting to see. It ain't growing, you know? So,
well,
wherever that revenue's coming from, a higher real estate taxes, so on and so forth. But, you know, that's the big issue. You've got to control your spending, period.
Hopefully
Sabre can come in and we can start climbing back up the hill, being on high ground, and make Marion profitable for the taxpayers and stop the wasteful spending and the spending out of ignorance, not knowing if there's any money in the purse or not.
Well, thank you for calling.
To a better tomorrow.
All right, the phone lines are open, 740-383-9944. That's 740-383-9944. 46 and a half minutes past the hour. The conversation this morning revolving around Marion's fiscal emergency announcement on Monday that went into effect on Tuesday from the state auditor's office, as well as the Flock camera conversation, which I'm sure will continue, as it should, in places like this, and Fire Chief Chuck Deem announcing his retirement effective next February. All right. Again, phone lines are open here this morning, 740-383-9944. That's 740-383-9944. If anybody's got anything they would like to say, we would be glad to hear from you on this chilly Thursday morning. We're getting close to the end of the week. I don't know. You know, I listened to that interview with Auditor Faber, and he said what he said, and I guess if people have a problem with that, they'll have to take that up with him. I thought he described what went on here pretty well, and I think people heard that, and maybe that's where we go from here. But as I have said, I think this is a very difficult time for the mayor, and obviously people are piling on him because he is the mayor, and I don't know if that's necessarily fair at this particular point. Because I think he's dealing with this the best he can. You know, when something comes at you, you got to deal with it the best you can. And I think he's doing very well in the way that he's dealing with it. I don't think that he's done anything since this announcement that has been inappropriate, and I think it's probably been a very difficult few days for him to figure out where this is all going to go, and I have invited him on the show, and I hope he does come on the show, so I've sent that invitation out twice to the mayor, and I hope he takes us up on it. Go ahead, caller.
Okay, you just said we shouldn't pile on the mayor, that's not fair, etc., and I'm hands-free driving, so don't send out the SWAT team. But I just drove past three city trucks that have got the big Love Your City crap slapped all down the side of them. Love Your City Streets, Love Your City Engineering, Love Your City Water Pollution Control, Love Your City blah, blah, blah. So he deserves some piling on spears. Sorry. That right there, if I were him, I'd be getting those things down as fast as I can, because to me that's a constant reminder of the waste that he brought to office with him.
Well, I don't know if you can...
Unabashed waste.
Right, but I don't know if you can unding that bell at this particular point. What I'm saying...
I wonder if he's regretting having his name slathered all over the entrance and exit to the city.
Well, I guess what I'm saying is that this is a very tough week, and it would be for any mayor of any city, and he does have a city council. City council is the money arm of this city, and, you know...
Shelburne Airs were the only thing that stood in his way in that amount for the first 2 years of his term, and he got everything he wanted. So
yeah, but
think about this, Scott. Party bus, all the wraps, like they said at Bodine's office, $4,700 in wraps and just the all the sewer bills, the everything. I mean, there's just so many things that we could point to that it's definitely them.
Well, here's the thing. I people keep saying Schauber and Ayers, but I remember those votes, and if I recall right, I think Ayers voted for some of these things.
He did vote for some of those things. Now that you said that, you are correct.
And I think, see, this is why I think we're piling on the mayor unfairly. Because I think I've probably heard Schauber and Ayers five or six times this week. Well, I've been at all those meetings, and I can't say that Schauber voted for any of this spending, but I do know that Ayers did. And I cannot say that...
Yeah, but even Ayers wouldn't have been the one determining vote.
No, but I what I'm saying is council has to, you know, but I haven't heard one council member's name singled out as somebody who has done something wrong. Okay. But yeah, but you, it's going to come toward the mayor because he is the administration of the city. I haven't heard anybody really singling out.
Well, I was part of the administration, remember?
Right, but I think the piling on of him, you know, had city council said, listen, we don't have the money to do this, the mayor couldn't have done it. And had city council...
So we had residents standing up there saying that, and Jason Schauber did say that, and Ayers, remember, he was kind of kneecapped because he was on a felony indictment for rape.
Well, I'm not saying his life wasn't in a bad place at the time. I'm just saying...
Ayers is my friend, but I think we can all agree that he kept his mouth shut out of necessity there for a while.
Right, but all I'm saying is, you know, council doesn't have to face the heat like the mayor does. I have not seen any stories that have implicated council members. I have not seen any stories
I think we should get the video, I'll have to look for it, of Twyla Lang. When I'm up there, when I first started going up there, and was asking questions about the budget, and she told me, I have it on video, you need to stop questioning our authority. We are the ones that are in charge of this city's finances, and you need to respect the budget that we passed. And my response back to her was, this is the fifth budget you've passed this year, so what are we supposed to respect? She went straight up mean girl face.
Let me correct it. The board for a municipal corporation, the governor shall appoint one member, the mayor shall appoint one member.
The auditor sends some folks up here.
Yeah, but that's confirmed by the... Confirmed by the legislative municipal authority.
Yeah, so throw the name out there, and council has to approve it.
The county auditor will appoint one person, but the largest portion of the... in which the largest portion of the territory of the municipal corporation is located, and that group shall appoint one person. And the county auditor may appoint the county auditor to the commission. So that's how that will all happen. So it's going to be local people.
Yes. Well, there's going to be some folks from Columbus up here, too, telling the local people what to do. They're not just going to... We could get the smartest person in the world, and if they don't know government finance, then you're going to need somebody that knows government finance up there in your business.
Oh yeah, there'll be people, but I don't think they just won't be a part of this board.
They'll be overseeing this board. I know they keep telling us, oh, you guys are going to have all the control, you guys are going to whatever. Okay, let them come up with some idea that we have all the control over and the state doesn't want to happen. It's going to get smacked down. And Faber did say yesterday, if it gets bad enough, there does become a point where they just start making all the decisions.
Right, but you know what? I can honestly say, since the fiscal caution came in...
Scott, we're going to have Bill Collins and Mary Stoneburner as two of our representatives on this board. Mary is going to be... She can't run a council meeting. How the hell she's going to dig us out of fiscal emergency?
Well, I don't... But there are other people. And
she's one of them. She's, you know, she actually tried to be nice to me Monday night, and I didn't know what was going on. I don't know if it was because we'd all sat so long and all the blood pooled in our feet and she was feeling lightheaded. But I just smiled and acknowledged what she was saying and went on about my night. And I was thinking, the last time you spoke to me, you were calling me a liar and telling me to stop spreading rumors about a year ago. And now here you are thanking me for my input and telling me how interesting it was. And yes, it is something that definitely needs investigated.
No.
What?
I do want to be clear that Mayor Collins did spend some money without going to council. That's absolutely true. And he does have to own that.
Do you think that'll be a finding for recovery? Oh, I hope it is. I hope Bill Collins ends up needing a second job. Third job. You know, this dawned on me this morning. Now I'm just feeling ornery here. You were talking about PC retiring, and we were saying how, you know, you guys retire young, and they often go on to a second chapter in their life. I figured out Dean's second chapter. Mayor of Marion. What do you think?
He'd be popular enough for it.
He's a good guy. He knows budgets. He's nice. He can rally people. He clearly works well under pressure. Firefighter for 30 years. You know, he knows budgets. All that stuff. I said, I'm going to start a campaign for him. Chief Dean for mayor.
Well,
why not?
I certainly believe people will be running for mayor.
I hope so. That's kind of my hope. I would vote for you, Chief Dean, if that's what you decide.
Well, here's the thing. I think one of the issues here, though, is that a lot of mistakes were made. And I think people will own up to these mistakes as time goes along.
They don't have a choice. They will not have a choice but to own up to these mistakes now that the state of Ohio is involved.
But what I'm saying is I don't think since October, if you go back and look, that this council or this mayor, since we went into fiscal caution, and they've still had 100% control, I don't think they've spent money anywhere, really.
Okay, well, remember they cut the budget by $6 million, and then they added the $6 million back. And one thing I noticed that Faber said yesterday that we hadn't touched on was that they sent this plan, but they didn't enact any of it. They didn't stop recycling until July. They didn't do this stuff.
Well, I think that was a mistake.
They didn't put raises on our bills when they said they were going to. You can't send a plan in and say, this is what we plan on doing, and not actually ever do any of it. I mean, they should have said, these are the steps that we have taken and when they sent the plan in, and this is what we think it's going to do, instead of, these are what we will do if you tell us it's what you want us to do. That's what I think is we're going to struggle with, is I don't believe anyone from the state is going to be convinced that we are competent enough to be left alone.
Well, here's the thing. I think we know now where we are. There's no more plan to be made. We know that money has to be cut. We know what the revenues are. And I think that will make things a lot easier for these people.
And us having money, we need to remember that, taxpayers. We have money. They don't need more money from us. They need to stop the spending.
Right, but I do think that that's why people are talking about layoffs, because obviously that's what the city spends most money on. And, you know, here we are. Wow.
I think it'll be good that the state auditor is going to come in and analyze basically all of our spending. And we need that. And who knows if we can't make cuts instead of just laying people off. That there aren't cuts. You know, I mean, I remember one time I think there were $4,000 for postage just because that's what they thought they were going to need. Okay, we need to stop with that. We need to get to the zero budget, and you justify every dollar that you spend instead of you have this money that you haven't spent yet, and we're going to take it from you. No, now you have zero money except for your payroll, and you need to explain every single dollar that you want. That's just what it should come down to. Payroll is automatic. Everything else needs approved. That would be what we should do.
Well, I don't know if the city truly needs as big a payroll as they have. I think that probably became very bloated over the years.
That's a good possibility.
I mean, it's nice to have things that we have and directors that we have and so on and so forth, but is it needed? I don't know.
Well, I think we're seeing that, like, okay, Bodine is gone, and then the street and the park supervisor both retired early because they were caught up in the rub-and-tug scandal out at Cervex. And so we've done away with three directors' positions, and the city still seems to be running the same. And, I mean, that's $300,000+ a year, not including benefits that we save. And I don't see any change to the parks or the streets or what's going on in City Hall, do you?
Well, and you know, like I've said, a screener at city council meetings. Now, I don't know what that cost, but I'm sure there's some cost there.
One person was eliminated, though, because at one point in time, they actually had two people doing that job, like a full-time person and a part-time person. The part-time person retired.
Yeah,
so we trimmed some fat there. They used to have a police officer just sit there when people were coming in because the screener wasn't allowed to do anything to you if you had a knife or a gun or a an atomic weapon, they had to call for a police officer from the police department. So at one point in time, the city of Marion paid a police officer to sit with the screener to get screened to go into City Hall. So we were paying two people to screen people.
Well, it might be that a lot of assistants have to go. It may be,
I don't want to see people lose their jobs, but I don't want to see my bills go up anymore either.
Well, we're going to break, but we'll be back right after this.
Take care, Scott.
you weren't there for that one. You weren't there for that one.
I read the book.
Hillary and Obama.